Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I didn't know it was Country Sunday at Amazing Grace, okay? Thanks be to God. We take a closer look at the text, and beginning at verse 29, as the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation." Now, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, had over 100,000 people in it. And Jonah was sent to tell them to repent. They were also the brutal enemies of Israel. So Jonah was sent, and he didn't want to go, and that's why he ended up in the belly of a well. But eventually he did end up going to Nineveh, and he preached his message, and they repented, 100,000 people. We usually have that kind of result with our preaching, right, Pastor?
Amen.
Yeah. So the Lord spared Nineveh for a while anyway. You know what condition Nineveh is in today? It's in ruins. Nobody lives there. It's in northern Iraq, I believe, okay? But what is the sign of Jonah that he's talking about? Bob Udley says, "It was Jonah's preaching what God used to cause ancient Nineveh, the capital of the evil and cruel Assyrians, Israel's enemy, to repent. The Matthew parallel uses Jonah in the great fish for 3 days and Jesus in the earth 3 days as the sign." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the sign, okay? God's Messiah is present to save Israel, but they reject him. They refuse to repent, as the Ninevites did. The people of Nineveh, pagans, repented when they heard God's call to repentance through Jonah. Bob Uly writes, "They, the Jewish audience, had heard Jesus' teachings and had seen the healings and the exorcisms performed by him, but they wanted some ultimate sign to convince them to believe on him. This is exactly the temptation of Matthew 4, to which Jesus would not succumb. However, in reality, he had given them sign after sign, but they would not or could not see." Has Jesus made himself known to us? Absolutely, right? Do we accept him or do we reject him? Accept him, hopefully, okay? Are we willing to be changed, though? That's the second half, okay? Are we willing to be changed? It's kind of interesting because we have many jail pastors here this morning, but we preached over 5,000 inmates in the jails, right? In a year, okay? In 1 year, okay? That's pretty amazing, right? So do you think they all repent? Well, they're in jail, yes. But when they get up, you know, I pray that some of them are going to other churches and stuff. But obviously, we don't need to knock the walls out here, okay? So, the world, they want to accept Jesus, but they don't want to be changed. And that's the same with all of us, okay? Verse 31, "The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. The queen of Sheba," that's the queen of the south. And Sheba is present-day Yemen and part of Ethiopia. "She was a pagan, but she went and paid homage to King Solomon." What's amazing, though, is Jesus states his wisdom is greater than that of Solomon, and then he goes on to say that he's greater than Solomon. How do you think the Jewish audience felt about that? Not very good, huh? It's like me standing up and saying, "I'm greater than George Washington," okay? I don't think so, okay? But is Jesus greater than Solomon? Absolutely, because he's the incarnate Son of God. He's God in the flesh, right? So how do you think the Jews felt having pagans thrown in their faces as examples of faith? Not very good, right? Not very good. Verse 32, "The men of Nineveh will stand up." By the way, when I think of this, when I think of Jesus preaching this message, okay? Did he care what people thought? No. And if they got angry, so be it, you know. Hopefully they would accept it, okay? Because what he's preaching is truth. And he's more interested in the truth than pleasing people. And that's a great example for us, Pastor. So, verse 32, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is calling for repentance and a change of heart. Okay? He always did. John the Baptist did. All the prophets did. Throughout the Bible. Repentance, repentance, repentance. Turn to the Lord. Seek the Lord. All right? Over and over and over again. Charles Finney says, impenitence, the refusal to repent, is the whole of sin. Nothing else in all the universe is sin but this. Outward actions being only the evidences or manifestations of the inner moral state. We must turn our eye away from these and look only at the heart. Then we see that nothing else is sin but impenitence towards God. That supreme regard for self, which puts the mind in the attitude of rebellion against God and against an appropriate regard for any other interest but those of its own self. So the question for us is, are we willing to repent and turn our lives over to Jesus Christ? More importantly, who's in charge of our lives? That's the right answer. Because if Jesus is in charge, we're in charge. And that doesn't work too well, right? Now, I was talking with Pastor Perry before, and he's using the chalkboard again. I told him I should have been a coach, okay? Drawing the X and O's here, okay? But anyway, oh, it's on that. Okay, there you go. This is an illustration I use many times, and I know some of you have seen it before, but it's okay, it's good, I want you to remember it, okay? This is land. This is the ocean, okay? And this is a tower that has a light on it. And what do we call that? A lighthouse, right? And it's shining out light, right? Now, over here is a boat. Don't laugh at my pictures, Austin. Hey, you're going to be singing in front of us, so you better not be making fun of me now, all right? Okay. This is a boat, all right? Now, you be quiet. Go water the plants, okay? All right. Anyway. What's over here? Darkness, right? Darkness, okay? Here's the light of Christ, right? Innately, we're always headed into the darkness. We don't want to repent and turn back to Christ. This is our nature, is to go into the darkness, okay? What God calls us to do is turn our boats around and head into the light of Jesus Christ, okay? Now, when you're in a dark room, I'll give you an example here, okay? When we leave on a Wednesday night, we have to leave this light on last. You know why? Exactly, because if they turn that off and they say, come on, Pastor, and they turn the light on and they go out the door, and I'm coming from the alarm and I'm coming out here, I trip over a chair, okay, because it's dark, all right? Aren't there people living their lives in the darkness? Absolutely, right? Haven't we lived our lives in the darkness at a time? You know, I remember when I was way over here, okay? And by God's grace, His light shined on me, and I was able to turn the boat around, okay? But Jesus is the light, okay? I'm going to come across this later. And this tower would be the gospel, all right? So you're going to have to remember that, because I'm going to ask for that answer later, okay? Alrighty, now. But Jesus, yes. What's the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's His word, okay? Jesus states He is greater than Jonah the prophet. Bob Udley says, Jesus' wisdom and message are greater than any Old Testament wisdom and message. Jonah's message caused a pagan nation to repent. Jesus' message is greater than Jonah's. But these religious leaders will not repent and believe. Their condemnation is far worse because the message they heard was so much better. Now he's saying he's greater than the prophets. He's greater than King Solomon, and he's greater than the prophets, okay? So the people have to really start getting irritated, especially the Pharisees, because in Matthew it says he's addressing the Pharisees, okay? Yeah. The question for us, though, is the message we hear, is it better than the one that the religious leaders heard at that time? Yes. And it's not because I'm preaching, okay? How many different versions of the Bible do we have? We have visual Bibles, we have DVDs, we have CDs, we have Christian radio, we have Christian music, okay? There's so many ways that the Lord reaches out to us, and the message is so clear. And we've had the early church fathers and many great minds in the church who have given us true Orthodox Christianity. So we know what the truth is. We're without excuse, okay? Bob Yealy says, the unpardonable sin is not a rejection by God because of some single act or word. So, by the way, when you hear about the unpardonable sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, this is what it's talking about, okay? It's not because of some single act or word, but the continual, ongoing rejection of God and Christ by willful believers, i.e. the scribes and Pharisees. This sin can only be committed by those who have been exposed to the gospel. Those who have heard the message about Jesus clearly are the most responsible for its rejection. This is especially true of modern cultures that have continual access to the gospel but reject Jesus, i.e. America, Western culture, etc. Okay? So have we been exposed to the gospel? Yes. We are without excuse. Okay? And our nation is without excuse. Okay? And I believe, as I said in our newsletter, that Pastor Perry and I both believe that our nation has turned away from God. Okay? It's time for us to repent and get back to God, and I think we're in the process of doing that. I think there's a revival going on, and people are realizing that a relationship with Jesus Christ is what it's about. It's not about religion, okay? It's about living in that relationship with Jesus, and there's nothing like that. Amen? Verse 33, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. So what is the lamp here? Okay. All righty. I need a bigger board. Okay. Are you guys from Whitman or something? Or what? Okay, that explains it, okay. Matthew Henry writes, they had the light with all the advantages they could desire, for God, having lighted the candle of the gospel, did not put it in a secret place or under a bushel. Christ did not preach in corners. The apostles were ordered to preach the gospel to every creature. And both Christ and his ministers, wisdom and her maidens, cry in the chief places of concourse. It is a great privilege that the light of the gospel was put on a candlestick so that all that come in may see it, and may see it by it where see by it where they are and whether they are going. And what is the true and sure and only way to happiness? Amen. So that's the gospel, okay? It's the lampstand. So what's the light?
Jesus.
Very good. He got it because he's standing right in front of the board, okay? That's cheating, Pastor. Okay. John 3:19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. So who is the light? Jesus. What is our culture's response to the light? They turn away, right? And you know that verse I read out of John, isn't that the truth? They don't want to come into the light because they don't want the evil that they're doing to be seen. Okay? But because we're in the light, we can see the evil they're doing. And if we say anything about it, we're haters, right? Exactly. So, I know because when I was drinking, it's easier to go deeper into the darkness than it is to see yourself as you truly are, okay? And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. What's that? Absolutely. And the further you are in the darkness, it gets to the point where you think he's truth. Okay? Charles Finney says, once more, as light increases, impenitence becomes a hard and troubled course. Conscience is ill at ease. The sinner must brace himself up against the heaven-sent impulses to repentance. It costs him fresh and painful efforts to remain in impenitence. Oh, what guilt the sinner must incur who will fight his way down to hell against such influences put forth by God to save his soul. Remember, God doesn't want anybody to perish, right? So we actually fight to go to hell, all right? What a concept, huh? All right? We have this grace offered to us in Jesus Christ, but we prefer the darkness, just like it says in John. And we'll dig our heels in. A great example is, I like to watch Duck Dynasty, okay? And I like it because it's so real, all right? But, and it is funny, but anyway, Phil the Father wrote a book, and I read it. And there was a time in his life when he owned a bar, he did drugs and alcohol. He left his family, kicked him out of the house. He didn't leave his family, he kicked him out of the house, his wife and his three young boys, okay? Since that time, he's repented now. And those three boys are all pastors. They're all ordained ministers, okay? But there was a time when he was in the darkness, his sister went into the bar with her pastor. And the pastor tried to witness to him, and he kicked him out of the bar. And when the pastor left, he said, I thought I was going to get beat up in there. But that's what people do, right? When you talk to them about the truth, they're in the darkness so much, they'll dig their heels down. And they don't want to change. They don't want to change. They're afraid of change. And is that a lie from Satan? Absolutely, okay? I remember before I quit drinking, I had a voice that was a demon telling me, if you quit drinking, life will be no fun, right? That's a lie. But I was digging in my heels, and I believed that voice, okay? And Phil believed the voice until he finally hit bottom and it got through to him, and the same with me also, okay? But people will dig their heels in, so don't be surprised if people are offended when you invite them to church for the 100th time, okay? They're digging their heels in. And it could be they're at the point where they're just about ready to make that commitment, okay? Verse 34, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines and its light on you. Here Jesus changes the lamp image, okay? He's not talking about the gospel anymore. He switches to the lamp of our body, okay? And it's not uncommon for Jesus to do this when he's using images, okay? So, what is the door to the lamp of our body? The answer's not up there, okay? Our eyes, okay? That's what he says, our eyes. Matthew Henry says, note, the gospel will come into those souls whose doors and windows are thrown open to receive it. And where it comes, it will bring light with it. But if the eye of the soul be evil, if the judgment be bribed and biased by corrupt and vicious dispositions of the mind, by pride and envy, by the love of the world and sensual pleasures, if the understanding be prejudiced against divine truths and resolved not to admit them, though brought with ever so convincing an evidence, it is no wonder that the whole body, the whole soul, should be full of darkness. How can they have instruction, information, direction, or comfort from the gospel that willfully shut their eyes against it? And what hope is there of such? What remedy for them? So the question for us is, are our eyes, the eyes of our souls, open to the light of Jesus Christ? Yes. Amen. Charles Finney writes, it is a great mistake to suppose that impenitent sinners are not devotional. They are most profoundly and perfectly so. You could not ask for more perfect specimens of devotion to a given object. But the object in their case is their own self. He cares not for God only as he can make God subservient to himself. He would pray to God if he could thereby make God his own servant, not otherwise. If he does good to any of his fellow beings, you may be sure he has himself for the ultimate object. This is all. He cares for nothing in the universe except so far as he can make it subservient to himself. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So what is the main focus in our life? Do we make God subservient to our desires? There's times we do, right? God, do this for me. Make this happen, right? Yeah. But as we grow in grace, when we come more and more into the light, our prayers change, okay? And we realize that it's all grace, okay? There's people, though, a lot of people in this world that are sociopaths, and I'll give you my definition of a sociopath. It's someone who treats people like things. And we see it all the time in the jails, okay? And we see that personality type. But you don't have to be in jail to be a sociopath. There's people in churches who are sociopaths, who make everyone subservient to them because they think people are things. They're for their pleasure, okay? For their benefit. What can this person give me? What can this person do for me? Okay? It's all about them. Okay? And they're in the darkness. They're way in the darkness. Okay? And I know because I was there. Okay? And I treated people like things at one time. And you'll say, "Oh, that's impossible, Pastor Rick." Yeah, I did. Okay? Because alcohol hardens your heart. Any addiction will harden you so much. Ultimately, it becomes about you. Okay? So, the message today is John chapter 12, verse 36. "Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." The light is with us here. Jesus is here with us now, right? We need to accept Him. Accept Him every day. Because tonight may be too late. And we have to think about that with our loved ones, right? Tonight may be too late. I told the guys in the jail yesterday, I said, "We don't know if we're going to wake up tomorrow, guys. So you need to know that you belong to Jesus Christ." Okay? So, the light of Christ is present today. Open your hearts to receive Him. Amen?